I've written on the board, seeing not, yet believing. It's good to be here again with you this morning. And I'm ever thankful this morning for the hope of the gospel. I'm thankful this morning for a gospel that reaches us all. It's an all-inclusive gospel message. No one's left out. It's not for just a particular group of people, a particular class, particular people with certain levels of righteousness, but it's for everybody. And the Lord said He didn't come for the righteous, but He came for the unrighteous. And that really encourages me because I need help. I need God. I don't have what it takes to be saved on my own. I don't have what it takes to reach the judgment and be able to face the Lord and say, God, here's all that I've done and here's why how I've earned my way into heaven. I'd be at the end of the line. But I'm thankful today that that's not the gospel that Jesus Christ brought. Jesus Christ brought a gospel that gives every single person hope in Him. And I'm so thankful for that today. With the recent lessons here on faith, it's hard to follow Brother Dion in his lessons on faith, but I've been encouraged and inspired this morning to think a little bit about the thought of seeing not, yet believing. Seeing not with our eyes, hearing not with our ears, not being able to feel with our hands, yet believing. And I'd like to read a passage in the fourth chapter of John. John 4, and we'll start at the 46th verse. It says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I know that this morning we have all had occasion in life where we feel desperate with circumstances that we face, or situations that they're just beyond our control. They're beyond our ability to influence. Like we mentioned last Sunday, that's life. We are going to face those things not once, not twice. But as the Lord spares time, we're going to face those a lot of times in life. And such was the condition here. This man was feeling like and facing the loss of something that was very dear to him. Something that meant so much to him, and he couldn't do anything about it on his own. But he heard that Jesus was in town, and so he headed out and he found the Lord, and he made his case before God, before Jesus, and no doubt, if you'll just allow me a little bit of liberty, if I were in his shoes, and I made my case before the Lord, my next thought would be, all right, Lord, let's go. There's a sense of urgency. We've got to make time here. And yet, the Lord responded in a way that he probably never really expected. He wasn't really looking for that response. He got done asking the Lord, I need help. My child's going to die. Please come to my home. And Jesus said, you know, except you see with signs and wonders, you won't believe. You know, if your house was on fire and you needed help and your stuff was burning up and you ran across the street to your neighbor and you said, hey, my house is on fire over here. I need help right now. I've got a situation I can't do on my own. Please, what if your neighbor said, I'll tell you what, that's a serious situation. Why don't you sit down right here and let's talk about how that might have happened and how we might be able to keep that from happening in the future and maybe some of the things that we could do to maybe minimize some of the damage. Here, sit right here. Let's talk about some of the details surrounding that. What would your response be to that? You'd say, we can talk about all that later. Right now, my house is on fire. We got a problem that I can't take care of, and there's a sense of urgency. There's a need for some answers right now. Please, come help me up my house. Well, this man needed help. And Jesus had an answer. He said, well, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And it was like the noble said, yeah, you might have a point there. There. Maybe that's something we could think about later, but again, I'm looking for a little liberty right here. That's the way maybe that I would have thought about it. But his response didn't have anything to do with what Jesus just got finished saying. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. You know, there was another situation where the centurion that met Jesus, you remember that? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my house. If you'll just say the word, my child will be healed. And this man, he was desperate for help. And the Lord answered him, and he said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now remember, this was a man of faith. And it's almost like the man that it registered in his heart. And it's like the light clicked on, and he thought, oh yeah. If what we need is something way outside of what I can do, what my wife can do, what anybody else can do, and that's our need, and this man Jesus can take care of the need at his bedside, well, yeah, maybe he can take care of it from afar too. Maybe he doesn't have to come to my bedside. I want to learn from these men's faith. I believe that there's something here for us. We as human beings are so apt to want to see the details. We want to see action happening. Well, if you're anything like me, maybe you're probably not like me in every respect, hopefully, but if you're like me in this area, if you have a real need, it's a whole lot easier if you can see things starting to fall into place, right? We like to see things starting to fall into place that are leading to whatever the answer is that we feel like that we need. And if it doesn't, then our faith tends to struggle. We like tangibles. We like to be able to see with our eyes. We like to be able to hear with our ears. We like to put our hands on it and say, okay, yeah, I feel it. I know it's there. Oh, okay, yeah, I heard it. Now, my faith can be stronger because I heard it. all right, I see what's taking place here, and my faith can be stronger now as a result of that. We like tangibles, and the Lord knew that. And so Jesus, he said, yeah, and except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And you know what else? A lot of times, we like to see signs and wonders that have to do with exactly whatever the trouble is that we're in right now. Don't we? Haven't we all seen and read about signs and wonders yesterday and 10 years ago, and we've read about things that have happened, and yet we get into trouble with something. And what we want to see is we want to be able to see tangibles that have to do with exactly the situation that we're dealing with right here. And I think sometimes the strength of our faith, if you could get a hold of this, I believe that the strength of our faith many times is dependent on whether or not we see the path to the answer. But what if there's no path? If you'll allow me a simple illustration. This is simple. But if you have a box, and I don't know if everybody can see it back there, but if you have, this is the top view of a box. And if you have cutouts in the box like this, there's toys that they make like this. And if over here you have three blocks, and you're told that you have 30 seconds to get these holes filled with something that's exactly the same size, and they've got to all fit in this box, and you got 30 seconds, go. Well, if you look down there and you see that there is a rectangle or a triangle and a square and a circle, and they all fit, you got pretty good faith. And you know the path. I can pick those things up. I can fit them in there. I'm good to go. I think I can do it in less than 30 seconds. And your faith's pretty good. That all that can happen, right? But what happens if you're given 30 seconds and that's not there? And you look at the situation, you go, I got three holes. And there are different shapes, and I only got two down here. What am I going to do now? I got 30 seconds. It's pretty important. If I don't get it, bad things are going to happen. Faith struggles a little bit more, doesn't it? What if two of them aren't there? Is your faith less than it was before? Is your faith staying the same, or is it starting to go downhill? What if one of these aren't here, but this one is? What if this one's gone and two of these are gone, but you're told there's three of them that got to get plugged? What if you just know you have a real problem? You got holes and you got gaps in your life. You have places that aren't filled, and you don't really know how they're going to get filled. This is just a cloud and a gray area, and you don't really even know what the pieces should look like. Isn't this where we live? Don't we encounter things like that in life? Not a simple box with different pieces that fit in the box, but our lives are like that. Our journey is like that, where we encounter places where it seems like there's gaps and they need to be filled. And sometimes we try the best that we can to force the square in a round hole, and it just doesn't work. And we do everything we can. We think, well, maybe I can make one. I think I have time. I'll try to make it really fast. And then we try to manufacture and make it. And we start getting in a scramble until we find out I can't make it. And I don't know anybody that knows how to make it. And I'm at a loss. And I need help. I feel like many times our faith. As these start to drop off, so does our faith. Do you experience that? Is your faith dependent on the path sometimes to the answer? How much of that is defined? Temporally speaking, there's a human action model of change that we follow many times before we make change in life. Many times three things have to take place before we change. And I'm speaking temporally right now. The first one is we generally have to be discontent with our current state. We don't usually change if we don't have some level of discontent. That's the first thing that needs to take place before we change, a level of discontent. The second is a vision of a better state. And the third is a pathway to get from our current state to a better state. You might be discontent, but if you don't have a vision of a better state, you typically stay right where you are, right? Because you don't know where to go. You might feel discontent. You might have a vision of a better state, but if there's no path to get between the two of them, you see no way to get between the two of them, then often change doesn't happen either. And we stay in the same current state. Jesus told Thomas, you remember Thomas? Jesus told him, "You see and believe, but blessed are they which see not, yet believe." He said, "Thomas, the reason you believe now is because you see me with your eyes. You saw me crucified on the cross. You saw me put in the grave. And someone told you that I was alive, but you said, I'm not going to believe unless I see. And so now you believe because I'm standing here in front of you. And you see my hands. You see where the nails went through. You see where the spear pierced my side. And so now you believe." But he said, "Blessed are they." This is a challenge to me, saints. "Blessed are they which see not, yet believe." Where might we be this morning when it comes to that? Jesus isn't asking us for blind faith in nothing. Some people say, "Well, just believe. Just believe it's going to come to pass." Well, believe in what? The Lord has given us. The Lord gave His disciples. Thomas was privileged to be able to see the Lord raise the dead. The lame were healed. He saw the water turn to wine. He saw the Lord do all of these things. The Lord gave him all he needed to have faith in Him. Why did Thomas then need to have the Lord do even more to prove that what Jesus said was going to happen was going to happen, or happened? And yet, don't we find ourselves in those places sometimes? Where God has done so much for us, He's given us what we need to hold on to, and yet we still want to see. We still want the tangibles. Before we have faith, we want all the blocks. We want to be able to see all the blocks with our eyes. We want to be able to see where all of them are going to go, and we want to see a path between the two, and then we can say, "Okay, I've got faith that it's going to work out." The Lord works at a higher plane than we work, saints. The Lord, He's not limited to the things that we're limited to. Spiritually speaking, here, Jesus is our path. Jesus is our path. The Lord is the one that can make happen what we can't make happen. He is the fact. He's the missing factor so many times. We get in trouble in our lives and we get discouraged and we get down and we face mountains that are bigger than we are. And we scramble around looking for all the potential solutions on how we're going to be able to get to the top of that mountain and over the other side. And then when we can't, we give up. And our faith starts to drop. I remember one time when I was in class and we were given an assignment. And you know those word problems? It was a long word problem. And they gave us the answer. They said, show why this equals this. And then you have to show your work and go through it. And I felt like I knew the answer. I felt like I saw the path. And I worked in it, and I worked at it, and it was all making sense to me. And I got to the very end. The only problem was it didn't equal the answer that they gave. And I worked and I worked, and everything seemed to make sense, but it still wasn't working out. And I thought about it for a while, and so you know what I did? I back calculated and figured out what factor I would have to put in there so that if I multiplied that times the whole thing, it would give me that answer. And so in a page of calculations, there was one little tiny number that said times 2.4, whatever it was. And I thought, I don't know the answer. I don't know why this isn't working out. I'll just put this factor in there and see what happens. And I got my paper back and I got full credit. There was one red mark on my whole paper. And it was a red question mark right underneath that factor. It's like, where did this come from? Do you know in life a lot of times we can think we've got the answer, but it's still not working out? We think we understand. We think we know. We think we've got, if we just do X, Y, and Z, then we're going to end up with where it is that we need to end up. And yet, it's not working out like we would like for it to work out. Did you know that Jesus wants to be that special missing factor? Jesus is our path. Jesus is the one that if we'll believe in Him, if we'll recognize that, Lord, I'm going to look to You with expectation. I don't have to understand everything about this, but I do believe in You. I believe that You know how to make this work. Then the Lord can make things work when we can't. He wants our faith to be strong. He wants us to believe in Him, not just believe in Him when we've got it all figured out. That's not really faith, is it? God wants us to believe when we can't figure it out on our own. When we don't see the path. He doesn't want our faith to be inversely proportional to the degree of difficulty. When it starts getting harder, He doesn't want our faith to decrease. And then when it looks like it's not a very hard situation, well, then we got faith. The Lord is the master of working out hard things. He likes lifting heavy weight. You know, if I want to try to show off my strength to my boy, I don't want to lift up 10 pounds. I want to show him I can lift something that you didn't think I could lift. The Lord doesn't have to prove Himself to us, y'all. But the Lord is, He can do more than lift the light stuff. God can lift the heavy stuff. God wants to lift the heavy stuff. God wants to move the things that we can't move. Jesus is not limited by whether the battle's big or whether the battle's small. That doesn't limit Him. He's our path. He's the factor. He's the answer. He's God. In the book of Samuel, and we won't turn there, but in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, I may have mentioned this some time back, but Jonathan, King Saul's son, was out there all by himself with his armor bearer, and he looked out there and the Philistines were in an area that he wanted that land, he wanted that ground, and the enemy was out there, and they didn't know he was there. He could have slipped out. He could have just got out of there and said, well, we're outnumbered here. There's no reason to approach this battle. This battle is way bigger than we are. Let's get out of here. But Jonathan looked out there and he saw that there was more of them than there was of himself and his buddy. And this is what he said. He said, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. That was back in the Old Testament. Are you ever challenged with the faith of some of those Old Testament folks that before Jesus ever came, before the Holy Spirit ever came, some of these men back there, the faith that they demonstrated? I mean, Jonathan's life was at stake. This was serious business, running into a whole bunch of Philistines. But he looked out there and he thought about God. And he said, you know what? The Lord's not restrained by whether there's a whole bunch of them or whether there's just a few of them. And so he went on the offense and he went after the mountain. And I want to say this morning that the enemy would love nothing more than to get us to focus in on how big the mountain is and how small we are. He'd like nothing more than to show us how many of these blocks are missing. He'd like nothing more than to show us that there's so many holes to fill. You don't have the answer for it. You don't have a pathway to get there. You might as well just pack up and go home. The enemy's trying to do that. That's what that shield of faith that we've been hearing about is all about. The Lord wants to do mighty things for us. He doesn't want us to have to retreat. One place, the scripture said that Jesus did not many miracles because of their unbelief. He was right there ready to do things on their behalf, but because they didn't believe, he couldn't. Jesus said that the disciples in the boat, in the storm, when those waves were tall and the wind was blowing hard, it said that they feared because they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Something that had just happened less than 24 hours before. But because it wasn't exactly the same situation, they failed to believe that the same power that multiplied the loaves and the fishes could calm the wind and the storm. Because tomorrow, my challenge isn't this box with these blocks and God took care of it. But now tomorrow, it's something else. We're so apt to lose our faith. The Lord's saying, did you forget? Did you forget what I did for you yesterday? Did you forget what I did for you last week? The song says, when I look o'er the past, I beheld how his wide arms of mercy held me. Let's make a habit of looking o'er the past and remember how God's wide arms of mercy held us, strengthened us, gave us what we needed that we didn't have on hand. And remember that as an Ebenezer stone. So that when we face challenges and obstacles, situations in life that are bigger than you are, that you don't lose faith. Because Jesus is your path. It's not your own mind. It's not your own strength. And the Lord, as Jonathan said, he's not restrained. Folks, the sun and the moon and the stars, they're all still in place. beautifully and wonderfully. Did you notice that was the sun slipped out of position this morning? Is the earth spinning out of control? Is the Big Dipper, is it turned sideways and upside down from what it's supposed to be? Have the birds stopped singing? The plants stopped growing? Has physics stopped working? Has gravity, did it fail you today? God's still on His throne and working. He's still alive. He's still doing so much to show us that He's still there and He can take care of this. He's the path. He's the factor that we can't come up with on our own. He's the solution when we don't have a solution. And He wants us to live our lives with confidence, knowing that's who we're following. The question was asked this morning, you know, what does more than a conqueror mean? What does more than a conqueror mean? You know, if I'm going to be the conqueror, I want to look like the conqueror. I don't want somebody looking from the sidelines saying, I can't tell which one of them won. They both look dead to me. I want to look like I'm alive and I'm encouraged and I'm the winner and that I have purpose. Does it mean I'm going to understand everything that's out ahead of me? No. I want to conclude with this thought. Our faith determines this morning, y'all. Our faith determines our experience with Jesus Christ. Consider that. It sounds simple. But I think sometimes we miss the essence of it. I do. I miss the essence of it sometimes. Your faith, the extent of your faith today, is going to determine your experience with God. Faith does not mean, by definition, faith necessarily does not mean that you're going to understand everything. By definition, faith means that you're not always going to see the path. You're not always going to see all of the right pieces that are going to fill the holes like they're supposed to. And we're not being asked to do that. We're being asked to believe in Jesus. We're being asked to believe that He can and that He cares. When I can't. Faith is not, okay, I've got faith that I'm eventually going to get a hold of all of this and I can put it all together. No. You'll get discouraged if you approach it that way. Faith is, I have faith in the one that I'm following that He can take care of this. And that He cares about me. And that He can take care of this situation better than I would know how to. Thankfully, it also means that He isn't always going to answer our prayers just exactly like we asked. For the same reason that we many times don't know what the path looks like. If He answered everything according to how we thought, we wouldn't be any better off than we are now without Him. We need a God that operates at a higher level than we do. We need a high priest that can do more for us than what we can do for ourselves. And faith is not trying to get ourselves into the place where we're trying to figure out, well, without faith, I'm going to be able to eventually get all this together. Faith is believing in Jesus Christ and having a quietness and confidence and a strength that comes with that because we know who can. Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, we don't even know how to pray for the things that we need to pray for as we ought. Do you remember that verse? Romans 8, 26. There are things we don't even know how to pray for as we ought. We don't even know how to ask for the needs that we have. And so Jesus, in His mercy, it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God. Thank the Lord that we serve a God who picks up the slack when I don't even know it's there. That's one to have faith in. That's one to trust. When the way looks dark, we're serving a God who can see through the dark. When the weights are heavier than I can pick up, I'm following somebody who knows how to pick them up. When it doesn't look like it's going to turn out like I kind of really want it to turn out, I'm serving a God that knows in the end what's best for me to get me to the other side in the very best way along with everybody else. This morning, I want to be numbered. I want to be numbered with those that don't always see, yet believe. I want to be numbered with a people that recognize that we serve a God who makes paths in places that look impossible to us. Read the 41st chapter of Isaiah. Rivers in high places? How do you do that? Rivers happen in lower places when water has a chance to create a river. How do you end up with a river in a high place? Jesus can. Fountains in the midst of the valley. Trees growing in the desert places where it looks impossible. If you feel this morning that you have a place in your life that you have despaired of, a spiritual victory, a relationship issue, a work issue, something that just seems to have created a cloud over you that perhaps the enemy is telling you you're going to have to live with that the rest of your life. Jesus wants us to get to the place where we can believe in Him whether or not we see the answer and rest in that, because He can create paths where we can't. And I also want to be numbered with those that not only believe and see not, but I want to be numbered with those that receive too, because of my faith. Be encouraged this morning, folks. God loves you. He knows about you. He knows your name. The Scripture tells us that His eyes search to and fro throughout the face of the whole earth, that He might show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. It's my faith, my confidence, my hope is in the Lord. And the Lord, when we do that, He hearkens. He's on His throne. He looks down and says, oh, look, they're trusting me. They're believing in me. They can't see, but they're believing in me. And the Scripture said the Lord hearkens when that takes place, because He wants to do something special for you. Let's be encouraged in Jesus Christ this morning, who is our path. Amen.